You never change. place. So I will find my way to you. Now I can see clearly.
presence. The heavens have opened their doors, and these are the times of revival. And this is the great day of the Lord. So come and pour out your spirit on your people, for the harvest, let it rain.
welcome everyone to the big call tonight. It is Thursday, March 12th, and you are gathered here to be inspired, be empowered, to walk in deeper relationship with God. And we're going to be missing Bruce tonight, sadly, but happily for him. He's doing something he's very excited to be doing. So think of him smiling and being with us at a distance. And we're going to pray the call in, and then we're going to get into the call as usual. So let's just everybody take a moment and just focus on your heart. And think of all the people around the world that are listening to this prayer as we bring our hearts, our minds, our souls to awaken, to be empowered, and to feel the inspiration of our calling for creating and reimagining our world. This is a call that is here to inspire you, guide you, and support you in being your best self. So, beloved God, thank you for bringing us all together, for bringing us into this moment of reflection, new learning, and inspiration. In Jesus' name, let us be together in hearts, minds, and souls, and be inspired. Amen. So, let's go to our teaching for tonight. What do you think I'm going to be teaching on? Bob, what do you think?
Do you think I'm going to follow through it?
That's it. Bruce really was excited about that. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to make a wild guess.
Okay.
Was it something Bruce wanted us to do?
Yeah. Yes, it's. I don't know if you're going to, it's a little bit different, but same source, and I hope that because it's a little different, it's going to be even more memorable for everybody, so that's the point. And the title is,
okay.
Disciple is a noun, not a verb. The problem with the word disciple is that we don't use it much outside church circles. The Hebrew word is Talmid and means a student of a teacher or philosopher, not just a learner, but a practitioner, here's the best part, of an embodied way of life, one who is diligently working to be with and become like their master. I would argue that the best word for translating Talmud into English is the one I've been using for the last few paragraphs, and that would be apprentice. This is such a helpful word. It conjures up a mode of education that is intentional, embodied, relational, and practice-based, a type of learning that is totally different than what we grew up with. Jesus' model of apprenticeship was a far cry from our Western educational system. As one pair of scholars put it, learning wasn't so much about retaining data as it was about gaining essential wisdom for living, absorbing it from those around him or her. This was the ancient method whereby rabbis trained their Talmidim, or disciples. To follow Jesus, then, meant to walk alongside him in a posture of listening, learning, observation, obedience, and imitation. For Jesus' first apprentices, the goal wasn't to pass a test, to get a degree, or receive a certificate to frame on your office wall. It was to master the art of living in God's good world by learning from Jesus how to make steady progress into the kingdom of God. It was less like learning chemistry and more like learning life. But whatever translation you adopt, disciple, apprentice, practitioner, student, or follower, let me state the obvious. Talmid is a noun, not a verb. People regularly ask me, what are you discipling? Or who's discipled you? But as far as I can tell, not one time in the entire New Testament is disciple used as a verb. Not once. Grammatically speaking, then, to use disciple as a verb is incorrect. So the question is now, for everyone on the big call, are you ready to move into the practice of living, walking, and apprenticing with Christ in a deeper and more meaningful way? And that's our teaching for tonight.
Awesome, Sue. Thank you.
Good, right?
Thanks. Yeah. Yeah, it really took me back to when I was in my 20s and I had my first real intense apprenticeship. And I had them before, but this one was super intense. And I had enrolled in graduate school, and I was getting a master's degree in social work. And it was a 60 credit master's degree. So it was basically 2 full years of study, which I did in a year and 3 months to get it done faster. And I also at the same time used that learning to secure healthcare administration licenses that were required by federal law to do certain jobs. And then I had what we called an internship, which was really being an apprentice to a person, because the person that accepted me to come to be at their healthcare facility had a doctorate in social work. And he was eager to have an apprentice that was getting a master's in social work. He thought it was important to have that kind of perspective if you're going to be helping care for people who were elderly and disabled, which we were doing in a skilled nursing facility, as well as home health agencies that were designed to make it so people didn't have to go to the nursing home. And so when I got there, it was really a big awakening. Prior to that, I'd been a clinical social worker in a small agency with only 7 or 8 staff people in total. And when I got to this facility, there were 17 department heads. And a couple of the departments had hundreds of people in them, working in there. And all told, and we had about 1,000 employees. And so there was a CEO slash administrator who was in charge of all of that, and there was no assistant administrator to help out. But what I ended up becoming was the assistant administrator. He's like, all right, you're here to learn, but I need help. I want you to start supervising the social work department, the dietary department, the physical therapy department, the housekeeping department. And you're just going to have to jump in and help out, right? And so that's what I started doing. And we also had 30 board members, and we met every month. We had four separate meetings, three committee meetings, quality assurance and finance and executive committee. Then we held a full board meeting and had to make a report every single month as to what was going on. And some of these board members were Wall Street billionaires. Some of them were missionary sisters. Others were heads of departments at universities. In a way, all of them combined, including some of the department heads who were much older than me, some were in their 60s and I was in my 20s, that whole facility, that whole organization became my place that where I was following and learning.
Your apprentice, yes,
and,
yes.
Yeah. And so then what happened was after I graduated, because I had to be there for 9 months and I had to work 5 days a week and from 9 till 5, that was the requirement. And I had to do that for 9 months with no pay in order to get my licenses. That was the licensing requirement.
Wow.
And then the day I graduated, got my licenses, I was formally hired as the first ever assistant administrator at that facility.
Wow.
And there were a lot of religious people there, meaning formally religious, priests, deacons, and nuns that worked on staff at the facility, and some of them volunteered, and some of them lived there in a convent at the facility. And so I got to know all of these people, got to know all their friends. I got to know all the top administrative nuns from all around the world, from the missionary sisters. I got to travel to go to over 100 different conferences, some on healthcare, some with the missionary sisters. I became a member of the Association of Lay Ministers. And after I'd been there about 5 years, I was talking one day with the full-time priest at the facility. Father Pat was a Franciscan monk. And he said to me, "You know, you have to leave soon, right?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "It's time for you to be the administrator of a different facility. You have to leave and move on and no longer be an assistant." And so I decided I would do that. And sure enough, I had met many, many people in the industry and decided where I wanted to move to and when I wanted to start a job as being my own administrator. And that's what I did. And I later, many years later, when my original mentor moved on from that facility, I was asked by the missionary sisters to come back there to be the CEO of that facility, which I did. And got to do many new things as a result of everything I had learned there and learned during the next 7 years when I was an administrator for the first time, and then came back and was able to start many additional new things. I started a mission in Rio de Janeiro, helping the nuns take care of women who lived in the garbage dumps there, and I also started the Cabrini Immigrant Services Corporation to help the immigrants in Westchester County who were literally being treated like slaves, and they were legal immigrants. And so all of that came about from that one internship, and then Sue, I got the privilege of doing the same thing for others, including I hired a secretary that came to work for me in my first job as an administrator, and she said, "I wanted to come because some people told me about you, and I want to come here, and I want to go to school and get my administrator's license, and someday I want to be your assistant administrator." And she did. She, over the years, she got all her schooling, everything, and when I left there to go back to the other facility, that board of directors hired her to become the new administrator. And so I had learned the value of that type of apprenticeship and wanted to pay it forward. And the reason I tell you all this is I think it's like a real-world example of how intensely powerful that noun of,
right,
you know, apprentice, you know, really is. And how good-hearted people are to give their time to help you learn and just support you in your life's goals. And then how good of a example it sets for you in the future to do the same type of thing. And it's
beautiful.
And now I get to do similar things with Boomers Forever Young, with the people that have come to work with me. They weren't nutritionists or even experienced in the health field at all when they came to work for me, and now one has been with me 14 years and was
That's
just
amazing.
Meeting with her today, working on brand new things today with her in my office, and she became a real cornerstone, you know. And so that's,
yes,
what came to me when you brought this forward. It's like this flood of memories going back all the way into the mm-hmm. 1980s when I first mm-hmm. Started graduate school.
That's amazing. You know, thank you for sharing that. And it's funny how when you and I get on this call, it's like, I don't remember what the topic was last time when we were together, but it's like somehow we're processing similar things. But, and I'll get to that in a minute. What I love about that story, Bob, is watching the continuity of your arc. Like, from the very beginning, you wanted to do something with your heart. And you stayed in that, and you've grown in that, and you've explored that. And it's so beautiful to be a witness to the consistent thread of what your implicit learning, everybody, is what you've been exposed to, and then, you know, how it's been built up over time. And so mine is a little different, but I think people are going to relate, because you never know when a new level of your apprenticeship is going to happen. So for some reason, I think it's because we know we're getting close, I kind of was going back in time before I even picked this reading. And I started in New York City I looked it up today, it was at Revlon, and it was under Michelle Bergerac, and it was known as literally the hardest company in the world to work for. And what was interesting is we were the front line. We were doing retail promotion and public relations for all brands worldwide. That's where I started. That's where I got exposure. And usually people only lasted a year. I was there for 3 years, Bob. And what it was is getting exposed to how people create new things, new ideas, connect to their audiences. It was the number one hardest marketing company in the country, maybe even the world, to work for. And it was really significant in that it taught me a level of tenacity. You had to get stuff done. It was incredibly high stakes. And that led me to finally, after I left there, you had to get really good at reading the situation. It was incredibly competitive. And you had to get really good at listening to and witnessing how people were developing their ideas. And so I left there, and I went to work selling strategic communications. So that meant going in and meeting with the CEOs of IBM and Gillette and all these corporations when they had really, really important big ideas to get across. And so it was wonderful. And this is maybe for the people that are here, you know, kind of in something like that now. But the corporate world started, there was like this time when I just went, I just can't do this any longer. I have to do something that makes a difference in people's lives. It was exciting. It was, you know, you were creating things that had a really big impact. But it didn't have the meaning that you were, you know, you started with that. And so I said, what can I possibly do? What can I possibly do? And I ended up, because I'd been a runner and I was into fitness, it was many decades of it, and I ended up at a weight loss clinic, and 76% of the people released weight. Notice the word release. And one of those people happened to be a director of what is now Verizon, but was GTE. And she said, I need you to come out to dinner with me, and I want you to write a proposal, and I need you to start working with my team. And this story is for people that... And I had mentors, and I had coaches, and I had people that were, how would I say, they were into saying, patting me on the back and saying, you know, you can do this, those kinds of things. But they, I had to find new mentors, and I invested a lot in my apprenticeship with people that are very well known in the, well, business coaching community and the, I would say, alternative community is what I'll say, so that I could make that really blended switch to being able to pay attention to what the world needs and be in rooms where people are doing big things and have big ideas and are thinking at scale. So I was always in sort of big ideas and big scale places. And yet, shifting that and starting my own practice so that I was consulting with, you know, CEOs and people that were trying to do that with balance. And so my work graduated from, mostly my work came through word of mouth and just being able to make a difference in the way you can meet with people, you can work with them. I didn't do a lot of management like you did, but I did a lot, 30,000 hours of one-on-one group coaching, helping people transform from low-trust environments to high-trust environments because I'd been in such intense environments in the past. I was really good at seeing how they could get more whole. And it's like you were coming from the heart from the beginning. I was integrating and understanding the world that a lot of people are going to be graduating from and having to I was always, literally about 70% of my clients were well-funded startups. So my path was about helping CEOs, founders, people doing something new, innovative, high stakes, meant something to the world, that kind of energy with heart, and so that they stayed okay. Because I had literally, that was the arc that I traveled, and I knew and I saw what happens to people when they're captured by an idea, but they lose themselves or they lose their capacity to stay. They abandon themselves when they're doing something that's important. I've seen that over and over and over again. And so I love what you said, just to watch your arc. And I loved, and I want everybody to think about what you can do when you think about your past. Think about how everything you've lived through apprenticed you for this moment. That's the part that Bob and I are both kind of sharing. And there may be a part that you can't even see yet. A lot of people haven't even, you know, reached their zenith yet. I don't think any of us have. And yet, every experience you've had has made you a jewel for strengthening your connection to your heart, for doing new things in a bold way, for preparing you to let go of the way the world may have taught you things, limited you, blessed you, and to look at that and apprentice with your own heart and Christ, and walk now with that open to possibility, Christ beside you, all of the big call beside you, looking forward to the future, openness, willingness to try new things. And so thank you, Bob, so much for what you brought. And I hope my part was possibility for people, and not to be afraid to try new things.
Yeah, and the last thing I wanted to say is how much it inspires in me a sense of gratitude, because the people that were so giving of their time and knowledge and expressing patience, it's like I could go back and list all the people, and it would be hundreds of people that I would consider to have been a mentor. It's just really good to kind of bask in the gratitude.
Yes. And all the people that, were supporting you or giving you their love or your guidance or all those things. And when you showed up for yourself, with guidance and love and listening to yourself, that's what I get from your story, from both of our stories, is you were always listening inside yourself, and then you were always grateful for what you were receiving. And I stand there, right there with you, Bob. You were always grateful and curious and exploring, and that's going to be really, really important in the future. So thank you so much.
Yep.
Too bad.
Thank you, Sue.
We couldn't have Bruce weigh in, but we miss you, Bruce.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So let's move on to Pastor Scott, prayer times three. Tonight, please pray for my two youngest girls, 17 and 19, both dumped by boyfriends. They think the world is over, both talking self-harm stuff. Both are strong-willed thinkers. We're freaking out, of course. Big call, universe, we need our collective prayers. We're leaving it in God's hands. I love you all. Be blessed, Pastor Scott. And so I'm going to ask everyone to just, if you'd like to close your eyes so you can just kind of quiet your mind and go into your heart. And let's just see Pastor Scott, his two girls, and his family with beautiful, open, healed hearts and souls. And imagine that Christ is pouring this beautiful light of healing, of release, of clearing that grief, that energy, those cords to people that quote unquote left and realize love has never left them. It's always complete and full inside them. And we pray that they open up to receiving that love from inside of them and call their energy back so that they feel filled with the light of Christ. And it's just blazing, flowing, and surrounding them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to go. I think we just have that. And Jeannie. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Psalm 140. I can't tell what this says, so I'm just going to say it's Psalm. God's infinite wisdom, knowledge, and power, which are beyond human comprehension and measurement. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and all ways. The Lord be with all of you. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Today we pray for everyone's health, faith, love, and finances. RV blessings to come to fruition, and especially the med beds to be available very soon. We're praying for the 7 U.S. service members that have been killed and everyone that has been injured during the ongoing military conflict, praying that the Operation Epic Fury is quick and successful, praying for peace in the world. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. President Reagan. Blessings and peace to all on this call. Everyone have a blessed and safe weekend. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Jeannie. So that is our praise and prayer. And guess what, everybody? We have a nice, I'm going to call it, I hope you like this, Bob. We have a musical throne change tonight. And Bob is going to, let me see, how are we going to do this? Yeah, Bob is going to do his segment first. Then I'll do my segment, just to make it interesting, freshen up a little bit. And then we'll close with Intel. How's that sound to everybody? So, Bob, it's all yours.
Yeah. Thanks, Sue. So, you know, I was talking to a lady tonight who was on a conference call, and she was telling people on the call how she had started taking Mitral, and she took it for a month, and she was like, I don't know if I really feel any difference, but I'm going to keep on going because I have it on auto ship. And so she was taking it for 3 or 4 months, and then she stopped. And she said immediately she realized how much it was helping her because she had gradually started feeling better and better and better. And then when she stopped, she went back to where she was at the beginning, and it was a really stark difference. And that happens a lot to people that go on to a regime, a health regime, where they start exercising or they start a new diet or nutrition program or join a new prayer group or something like that. And they make these incremental changes that stack one on top of another where you don't really notice a gigantic breakthrough. But then when you stop, that's when you really notice. And I opened up the testimonials that we got since Tuesday, and one of them was just like that, with a person talking about how they had to take the Mitral every day, and now that they are, they now notice they have quite a bit more energy. And when people are saying, I have more energy, it's really a change in their life, right? They notice it by things that they do, the way they do them, how well they do them, and what their attitude's like. Are they dreading doing certain things because they know it's going to take a certain amount of effort and they'll get really tired from doing it? And so their life can become kind of dragging yourself from one thing to another and dreading most things because your energy is so low. But then when your energy starts to come back, you're like, okay, I can get these six things done this morning without any trouble and get out the door and go and join up with my friends to play tennis or go for a walk, whatever it is. And now you're not the person who's telling all your friends, well, you guys go ahead, I'm too tired. Right? And so now you miss out on that social connection, which is so crucial for your health span and your lifespan. And, you know, so I was looking at this study that just came out. But get a load of this. You're going to be really surprised by this. So this study that comes out, and it's talking about a study on multivitamins, okay? And It says, the title is, a daily drugstore multivitamin may slow biological aging. So it did this research study, and they tracked people. It was over 1,000 adults, and they gave them a multivitamin called Centrum Silver. And lo and behold, just simply taking those multivitamins had a positive effect on their aging. And they had different, you know, markers that they were using that were functional types of things. And in general, they could, in terms of this functionality, the people taking the vitamins versus those that were actually doing much better. They didn't get into lots of specific details. But then, this is a study run by medical doctors. So they then said, well, how is it possible that these multivitamins might have been influencing their aging? And they're like, well, one thing is it could be it helped with their energy production. And the other one, maybe it was DNA repair. And maybe it was inflammation, right? They didn't measure any of these things, but they're speculating that maybe that's what these vitamins did. It was vitamins and minerals. And so then they go into all this stuff about, well, your chronological age is different than, you know, the age that you are on your birth certificate, and that's about it. But this is interesting that in this day and age, in 2026, they're reporting on a study like this. And They don't really have a clue why it worked, right? They think maybe it was this, and maybe it was that, and maybe it was this. And I'm looking at this in comparison to the work that people like Eric Kurtz, who invented Myotrol, does, and Ken Campbell, who created the Gladiator Barley, and the creation of Boomer Boost. And it's like, we are so far beyond what they talked about in this study in terms of our understanding and in terms of what else, in addition to a simple multivitamin, that we have to offer.
Right.
And we don't have to guess. We know what you need to take to reduce your inflammation. And not only that, we know on average how much your inflammation will be reduced if you take superoxide dismutase, which was not in Centrum Silver, right? And neither was trimethylglycine, right, which are the main antioxidants that you need. Imagine what these participants in the study would have been like if they had taken those things, right? And so we know from nutritional science research over the last, you know, 5 decades, exactly what the supplement pyramid is supposed to look like. It has hundreds of more compounds than what they used in this study. And literally when you get those nutrients from something like barley, it's you have thousands of more compounds than what was used in this study. And we know that it's helping with your DNA methylation repair. We know that it's creating genetic expression. We know that it's creating a mind-body connection via metabolites that travel, you know, from your gut to your brain and on and on and on and on. And so this just caught my attention, Sue. I'm looking at this going, really? In 2026, the age of immortality, they're talking about a study
I know.
With centrum silver, and they don't even know why.
Who is funding the study, out of curiosity? Centrum?
Yeah, I'm trying to see. No, I'm trying to see. I'm looking at you, so.
I think you need to, and I've been meaning to tell you, so I'm going to tell you now. You need to fund your own study.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do when the money comes in. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't say where they're from. They give the names of the doctors, and we'd have to look them up to see where they were from.
Yeah. You need to do your own study. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't even bother to say which institute did the study.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
that's really interesting.
Yeah, so, Sue, let me tell people what we have that's on sale right now, because it's really good to know.
Okay, so I can repeat it. Yes, so I can repeat it. Thank you.
Right now, we have a sale on Boomer Boost, right? So this is good to know, because we hardly ever put Boomer Boost on sale. And it's based on the availability of the products, meaning how long is it going to take our formulator to make it? How easily can they get all the ingredients? And right now, we're in a good position with Boomer Boost, where they've made advancements at the formulating facility. And so now we can actually put Boomer Boost on sale. And so it's buy one, get one half
sense.
Off.
Okay.
And the same for our heirloom barley. Buy one, get one half off.
Okay.
And we have one product that's on sale, buy one, get one free, which is our vitamin B complex. And this has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different B vitamins that are in this complex. That's on sale, buy one, get one free. And then our collagene, which we've been doing a 5% off sale because it's a brand new product. And until we go through the first batch that we had ordered, we're going to give people an extra 5% off on the collagene. And so that too is what's on sale. Boomer Boost and heirloom barley, buy one, get one half off. Vitamin B, buy one, get one free, and an extra 5% off of collagene.
Okay,
and that's
I
what
need
I have
your
for
help.
Tonight. Yep,
okay,
no worries.
Okay, great.
Yeah, it's quarter of 10.
We're coasting today. This is like a big call sprint. Let me pull up my, Oh, that's good. So,
well, Sue, you know what I was thinking, Sue? You know, when Bruce is here, it's called the big call. So I guess tonight this is like a medium. It's like a medium call.
He's going to love that. I don't accept that. That's not true. This is I don't know what we're going to call it. It's not a medium call. This is not a downgrade. It's just it's a different call. How's that? It's a different big call. We're not a medium call. Sorry. Not going to go along. So welcome everybody to welcome everybody to Sue's section. And tonight it's going to be fun because we had our first very interesting number. We had 33 people on our most recent Sovereign Advantage leadership training. And 33 is the year that Christ died. 33 is the number of vertebrae in your spine. And 33, this is where it applies to all of us, is the number of mastery and completion. And we're going to have our last call, hopefully our last call tomorrow night, Friday night. And so that was a wonderful success. And we worked on getting people ready to have very high leadership radar. So I'm going to give you a tip or two at the end of this segment, but I want to read a couple of testimonials that came in. And I want to say this to everybody. One of the things I think, you know, Bob, Bruce, and I are acting as your in the now mentors. One of the best things that you can do for yourself is just understand that when this goes, you are really going to be learning a lot. And you want to be doing what you can now so that you can regulate your nervous system. And that means, you know, relaxing, breathing well, doing some exercise, taking care of your nutrition through Boomer Boost, and doing what you can to start thinking, where do I need support? Where would I be making it easier preparing to learn so that I won't be avalanched and I won't be overloaded by what I have to learn? And that's where I come in. So it's very, very important to me that we have regulated nervous systems that can make good decisions, because that's really what the world is struggling with at this moment, is nervous systems that are dysregulated, overloaded, can't think well, stressed, all of that. And I've spent the past 35 years doing my part to ease that condition on the planet. So here's what somebody said, and this is about the offer we're going to give you a little bit later. It's about the offer called New Teams. Good afternoon, Sue. My wife and I have been deeply blessed by this program. We've already listened to it 3 times and feel like we'll continue listening because each time we hear it, we grasp things we wouldn't have considered. It helped us develop new insight into how to select our people and our teams and how to get, as you say, the right people in the room. We thank you profusely for creating this for all of us. Blessings to you in Christ, Peter and Yvette. Here's another one from Helen. Hi, Sue. I wanted to mention that I truly have enjoyed your classes. She just joined our group. Bob, I'm so lucky to have stumbled onto your classes. I'm not sure what classes you have left that you feel that I may benefit from. You will probably take a vacation, but I would like to continue purchasing some of your previous classes. What gems? Please keep me posted with additional information and with any additional classes. So the part that I'd like everybody to just reflect on is, did you know that the people that you're going to be working with, it's interesting, I wrote this a day or two ago, and then I picked the teaching today. Just like you heard Bob talking about what you heard me talking about, but the people you work with literally shape the structure of your brain, your heart, and your life. And your nervous system is going to be syncing with these people. And it's going to be helping you feel confident or clear or energized, or if you have a great team. And the people that are on your team are going to get on your team by what common denominator? You. And so I think you heard a little bit about my background. I've been in high stakes, high performance, where people have to be very committed to what they're doing. And one of the things that is in the new teams is the ability to create in yourself first the clarity so you have the right team dynamics. That's why it's called the new teams. Because if you're not clear and you're not reflecting on, you're going to get somebody to help you pick out your team members. You might have two other people. But you need to be clear when you're sitting in front of these people and you make the final decision. Yes, this feels right for the culture I'm building. And one of the things that I feel very privileged about is that I've been able to work with other people on startups building their culture. I've gotten inserted into a culture, but literally 70% of the time I was helping to build a culture, saying this person's right, this person's not, with a very heart-based, intuitive kind of nature. I mean, I think if you've been listening to me at all, you know that about me. So we developed this program. It's two parts, with the neuroscience of how your brain is going to be able to be trained to perceive, this feels right to my nervous system, to my heart, my mind, and this doesn't. That's what we go through. So that, why is this important? Because we're developing a whole new culture on Earth. We're moving from toxic, driven, survival-based practices to this really matters. How do we get the people in the room that have heart, that have skill, that are ride or die with us and are excited to be creating? It's not going to be about money. It's going to be about, we're doing something very meaningful here. It's not going to be like, okay, let's get cool people in the room and we're going to pay you a lot of money and we're going to do something really cool. No, it's not that. It's going to be like, yes, you're going to be well provided for, but the most important part is what this is going to do for the planet, for the world, for our communities. Huge shift. Huge. Most people don't even know what that looks like or feels like. That's why we've been running 231 classes on Friday. Those are people that are coming to do really meaningful things. And you're part of that, and you can be a part of it. We're going to show you how to perceive who the right team members are. And the most important part coming up that a lot of people don't even haven't really thought about because it's been so toxic or people have been under so much stress. Most people haven't ever had to create teams ever. is you'll begin to recognize alignment and capacity early. That's where we're going to start. I mean, this takes time, but you're going to get enough in these two classes and with the meditations and the guidance you're going to get. You're going to be leaving those meditations and the guidance, and you're going to be saying, okay, would that be a person I'd want on my team? Is this a person I want on my team? Is this somebody I would trust to perceive, be strategic, help me? That goes from your premier banker to every person. You're going to have about six different categories that you're going to create as your team ecosystems. So if you're somebody that's really ready or committed to, number one, not being overloaded and just sort of all of a sudden you're making these big decisions and you don't feel confident, this program is for you. If you're somebody that wants to feel more confident hiring and having your team become a culture amplifier, have you even thought about that? What's the culture you want to build? Heart-based, results-based. But what does it feel like to work in your space? What are they doing? Are they saving animals? What is their heart into? And are they skilled at doing that? If you want help with that, so you can curate and get the right intelligence in the room, that's what this is going to help you with. The most important decision are the people. The people that you're going to surround yourself. So you can use it as new teams, new hires, but it's called new teams. And if you want to build the future and get the right people in the room, all you want to do is send us an email. It's $100, and you're going to send it to Integrated Minds, INTEGRATED Minds, @hushmail.com, and just put new teams and put your name, put your name and your telephone number and whether you have PayPal or not. And we'll probably be getting to a few of those tomorrow because we're teaching a class and I have other commitments. And then a lot on Sunday. Listen to my intel segment as I take a glass of water. So just ask yourself, do I feel confident building my new teams? And would I like to have somebody that has 35 years doing that kind of work, who's a peer, who knows about what's evolving, helping me get some new architecture in my mind so I make the humanitarian project I'm about to launch less intimidating and I feel more supported? Ask yourself how you would answer that, and that's your guidance. So that's my segment. Thank you, Sue, says Bruce, right, Bob?
There you go.
Yep, there you go.
And now let's move into the intel portion of the call.
There you go, Bob. There you go. So the intel portion of the call. We have intel, and we're going to be answering one question. It's just going to be interesting. By the way, we at Integrated Minds do not respond to questions because of what we're doing with our leadership programs. So this came in another route. But just, you know, we don't unfortunately have the bandwidth because we're a small little consulting pod, so to speak. So here we go for the intel. as of, and let me see, how am I going to say this? This is coming from, both Bruce and I got contacted early this morning by our number one guy. This is from high military source is the way I'm going to say it. Very high. Saturday and Sunday night, we go to a tradable form of an asset-backed, gold asset-backed currency. That's Saturday and Sunday. On Sunday night, the notifications are already loaded and will begin to be released. Remember the source. This isn't coming from a blog. This isn't coming from anywhere. But very, very high-level military source. Sunday night, Monday morning. Notifications are loaded for Sunday night, Monday morning. We are expecting that on Monday or Tuesday, we should be getting our notifications sometime on Monday or Tuesday to begin exchanges Tuesday or Wednesday. So that's really the bulk of it. Now, what's interesting, I'm going to use this as a teaching moment for a second. Start to really pay attention and Let me backtrack. Our number one guy told me, he said that a very well-known person in this community said, how come they don't know the Iran war is over? And something you can start to practice right now is understanding that when you look at the news, when you're watching what's going on and you're seeing all this activity, notice that there's no way you could be thinking that it's over. And yet we're being told that it should all come out by Tuesday or Wednesday, that this war has been over for quite a while. You heard Trump say, oh, it's going to be over really quick. So watch how that develops. Don't listen to me, but just, it's a skill now that you can't just trust what's being reported when you can't see the things that aren't being reported. And watch how much you take in the negative news and what it's saying and all the panic and all the fear that's being pumped out. Just track that. Because that's a really advanced leadership skill that we're all going to need and that I think we've been highly trained in, that's different than the average person out there. They're taking in the worst, you know, fear states and all that. You don't want to be a Pollyanna. You just want to be neutral and you want to observe. Observe, orient. Okay? So that's my little bonus tip for tonight. We had somebody, we were also told, now we have been told this before, that Social Security should be increased. Like whatever you're getting, you should get that again. In other words, the same amount plus the same amount. I guess you would call it doubled this month. So if you're on Social Security, we were told that you were going to get, you know, a double portion of whatever you're getting as of this coming, like the 21st or whatever it is. I don't know what to say about the rest of the people that didn't get it early in the month, but starting like around the 21st, we were told by our contact in the Social Security Department that was going to be the case. And our final piece, we were asked, whether if you had, if you're married and you have a husband, you're a husband and wife, and one person dies, what are you going to do about that account? So this is according to Bruce. This is what he said. They are going to, if you're going in as a married couple, they want you to have one QFS account. So married couples, start your dialogue now. They want you to have one QFS account. And in the event that somebody passes away, let's say that a little gently, if they pass away, they want you, that you're going to have an attorney that will figure out how to, you know, work with the distribution, or you can meet with an attorney if you have a trust account. Okay, this is how we want to handle it. So you're going to go in, you're going to put it under one person's account. They're doing that. I don't remember what Bruce said about why they're taking that approach. I think just to consolidate things and just have, all you'll have to do is if you want to modify that after your exchange, you just get an attorney to work with you on it. That's what you do. It's pretty simple. The laws should be out and changed by then. So you're just going to want to think, okay, we're going in, we're putting it into our account, but then we want to talk about, you know, how are we going to split it up, or what are we going to do, or in the event somebody passes away, what are we going to do? You're going to get an attorney to work with you on that. Okay? Hope that was helpful. And I think that's it. I think that's it for the Intel segment. What I advise everybody to do, it's Thursday night. You're going to come across so much more clearly if maybe tomorrow you look at your materials, just look at them again. And then maybe Sunday night, Monday, really focus on, okay, touch your presentation, look at it, get connected to it. Think about how you notice this with yourself. When you're paying attention to something every single day, how close, how connected, how bonded do you feel to it? How many of you are looking at your projects every single day? Put them aside, you're not looking at it until the last minute. Well, what we're doing and what I'm suggesting is you want to just take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, a half an hour. Why not pour a little devotion and look at what you did? Maybe you did the world-class presentation. Put your devoted heart into looking, I'm about to go in to the Redemption Center and launch the future of blank, blank, blank. I'm about to meet the people that are going to do this with me. Talk about apprenticeship. I'm about to walk out as the person that has done this with my team, to be surrounded with people that really care about why I want to do my project. Can you imagine? Talk about gratitude. Can you imagine what you're going to feel when you walk into the Redemption Center and your heart is beaming because you are so intimate with your projects and you're not even thinking about the money, you're thinking about the purpose? The meaning? Can you imagine the difference in the way you're going to come across? It won't have anything to do with anything but the value of what you're delivering. And they're going to be able to tell that. They're going to be able to feel it. They're going to be able to sense it. They're going to be able to feel your heart and your commitment. So that's a little tip for this weekend. I would do it, you know, you could do it every day if you want, but I would start warming up to it, like, okay, we should be getting into the last stages of this. Thinking about it, and I know it's like up and down. Yeah, I'll do it when I'll do it when I see it. Don't do it like that. If you hear like, okay, we're about to have an experience, and you're hearing it from us, and we're saying it sounds really like it's going to go, use that to be ready. Okay. So, I think that's it for tonight, Bob. Do you want to talk about your sales? You want to make it easy for me, so they have another voice coming in, and you talk about your sale, how to go to Bruce's site, and then I'll wrap it up with a prayer.
That'd be great. So just we have both our Boomer Boost and Heirloom Barley on sale. Buy one, get one half off. We have our B vitamins on sale, buy one, get one free. And we also have an extra 5% off on our collagene. And the way you access it is go to bigcalluniverse.com, and you'll see a banner for Boomers. Click on that. You'll land on our site. And if you want to give us a call, 800-861-4609. And just also to let people know, if you're listening and you're in the Tampa Bay area, or you're in Orlando or Sarasota or Clearwater, and you want to come and visit, we're at 5401 Central Avenue in St. Petersburg. Call ahead to the 800 number, and I'll make sure we set a time when I'll be there. So if you're coming on vacation to Florida, or you live in Florida, and you want to come and visit, it's perfectly fine. I'd love to meet you. And that's about it for tonight, Sue.
I can just see tour buses. You're the Rolling Stone of the health world, Bob. Oh, that's so fun. It's like, I can see, you know, those double-decker tour buses coming in. That's going to be so fun.
Well, we have three conference rooms, and we could do a simulcast, and we could do a simulcast to the bus.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. You got to do that and have like this like Boomer Jamboree. What was your slogan? Thank you, Boomers. What was it?
Let's go,
Boomers.
Okay, Boomers.
Okay, Boomers. I love that. It was so good. So great.
Yeah.
So, everybody, we hope you've enjoyed this call. Nice to have Bruce out enjoying himself a little bit, and it was wonderful to be with you, Bob, and thank you for your incredible story at the beginning, and I hope everybody enjoyed the intel. Just get ready for what could be a very momentous, brand new timeline, brand new life, and if you want and have thought about whether you'd like support in getting the right people into rooms with you, please send us an email to integratedminds@hushmail.com and just put new teams. It's $100, $50 a class, and it's designed so it will take the stress out of picking the right people with hopefully somebody that you trust deeply. I trust you, and it'd be nice to have people that you trust giving you a little guidance, right? Making it a little simpler and clearer for you to proceed. So with that, let's just pray the call out. Thank you, God, for bringing us together tonight to honor the great commitment that Bruce has made by holding this platform for so many years, bringing Bob on and myself on, and for us to gather as a community of millions of people that are going to be transforming this world. Thank you for the opportunity to just feel our hearts shining together in honor of what we're going to do together, in inspiration, in empowerment, and in the deepest love of Christ. In Jesus' name, we say thank you, amen, and good night. Good night, everybody.
Amen.
I'm going to turn off the recording. Go.